you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everybody, it's Matt from Days of Marvel. The episode you're about to listen to got a little off the rails. There's some explicit language, some crazy conversation. So we're just giving you a warning. If you're all good, proceed, listen, and enjoy. If not, you might want to come back next time. Here we go. You're listening to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. On today's episode, it's day 15 of our 15 days of everything else. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. I'm today's host, Matt Romano. Unlike our previous seasons, instead of counting down to a movie release, we're just celebrating the wonderful and sometimes not so wonderful Marvel movies that we haven't covered yet. So hopefully you've been listening to all 15 days. I don't really have to tell you the whole thing. We're counting down all the pre-MCU movies, all those classic gems. And today, we save the best for last, I think.
I co-sign that so hard.
It is technically the first Marvel movie. Howard the Duck, people.
Howard the motherfucking duck.
What the duck,
literally.
Guys. What the duck.
And before we really dive into it, because we're all chomping at the bit here, let's introduce our co-hosts. I'm here with Cher and Brian. Hey, guys.
Hi. Hello.
I got to say, the two of you have very good radio voices.
Oh, yeah?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I feel a little weirdly like that SNL skit with like Alec Baldwin and like they're doing the thing with the sweaty balls.
Sweaty balls.
This feels like that. Yeah. I feel like I should be talking like this.
It could turn into that. Well, now we're going to get excited. So go into excited. How would the duck voice?
Yeah. That was good.
That was good. I'm into
Elmore, Mr. Not, I'm not even going
to
try.
Oh, there are so many duck puns
I've
that
got
we have
my inner
to
chip Zion.
Get to. All right. But let's, before we jump into the plot of this movie, I think we just need to talk about
plot.
How.
Okay.
First of all, let me just kick this off by saying I love this movie. It was panned when it came out. It's terrible. I saw it when I was a child.
I saw it a lot when I was a child.
Yeah, like all the time.
And didn't realize until I was adult, kids had no right watching this movie.
No way.
No right.
No way.
For so many reasons.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is like looking online, like there's all these like differing descriptions. Like some are like, it's a family film. Fun for the whole family.
Absolutely not a family film whatsoever. But this movie exists in what I like to call the 80s vortex.
Mm.
Where movies that came out during that decade, they are usually trash when you go back and look at them, but they can only get away with what they get away with because they existed in that 80s vortex. So it's like you almost have to forgive some stuff because it's almost always going to be sexist, it's going to be problematic, it's going to be inappropriate, always. Like they're going to play into every worst stereotype and trope possible, but like you can't judge movies like that with this current like 2019 mindset.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you
wouldn't
just
get
can't.
2 minutes in.
No, yeah. You can't.
Not even. I mean, I did not.
Neither would Howard.
Yeah,
hey-o!
No. Oh! I mean, I didn't grow up with it, so I just watched it for the first time yesterday.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's
no
why.
Way.
Now, that's, I think, why you feel the way you probably feel. And him and I feel
yeah.
the same. Because, like, I watched the shit out of this movie as a kid.
I was obsessed
with
this
because,
movie.
Well, I think you're right in that if you grew up with it in that vortex, like, there are other movies that have reminded me of, like, the 80s Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
That is not good. Well,
right.
I shouldn't say that, but I don't care for it. As a kid, I was like, why are they on Earth so much? But I will still watch that movie as an adult and have a good time, mostly because Frank Langella. Whereas this one, not growing up with it, I also don't recommend watching this for the first time in between episodes of the new Dark Crystal show, because it plays like a really weird extended episode of that. You're like, what happened?
Or and is it, exactly how you should
I'm
watch
like,
this
is
movie.
Is one of them on some kind of drug trip dream fest? And I'm like, I can't tell if that made it better or worse. But I'm like, the suit, something's weird with the puppets. But as, so it's interesting without that nostalgia factor and having read Howard comics before, finally, I'd seen the dance number on YouTube many times.
I mean, that's a gift.
The song, the Howard the Duck song.
Yeah, the Howard the Duck song. You know,
I think also, which that song's amazing, and it's still to this day like the catchiest song I've ever heard in a movie, like a theme song. But I think also a really important thing to note is the reason I watched it so much as a kid is because HBO had like six movies and this was one of them.
Yes.
So it played a movie 4,000 times a week.
Yep. And it was one of those movies my mom would come in and be like, oh, it's just Howard the Duck. It's like, but it's like, the duck is getting down.
Yeah, and then she leaves right before he's about to get laid.
Literally
and
it's like, has a condom in his wallet.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, well.
They TNT Shawshanked you. With Howard the Duck.
Yeah, exactly. Just running round the clock.
Yeah, it's like, well, I might as well go for round 65.
Yeah. Well, this is great.
Or 69.
Well, this is great. Then you're the perfect person, Brian, here to give it to kind of like walk us back off the Howard the Duck ledge.
I don't want to steal your joy.
No, no, it's okay.
I don't want to kill anyone's
joy. Keep us honest. Keep us honest.
If anything, you're going to give me more joy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. Well, this is a George Lucas movie, which we have to call out. So 3 years after Star Wars, this is George's first project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
He cashed in all those chips.
Exactly. And originally I read that he wanted to make this an animated movie, but Universal insisted on it being live action because it was like their big summer bet for 1986.
Thanks, people that pay our salaries.
Yes, thank you for making what an excellent decision. I stand by it.
This is the best movie ever.
This is so good. It was live action. Oh my god, what a brilliant
choice.
This
is up there with the Hulks that we did.
See, animation, it would have been lost to time. You know, live action, and it is a classic forever.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, and at the time when this movie came out, so you know, it got panned because. Well, so many reasons.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons was because of how an animatronic Howard the Duck looked.
I thought he looked good.
So here's the thing. Like, so at the time, people were like, oh, his mouth doesn't even move, da-da-da. But like watching it later, to be honest, like I kind of think that weirdness completely worked for it. Because if the basis, if anyone's ever been familiarized with the Howard the Duck comics, that was all part of that very weird comedy horror subgenre that that Marvel had going on. And there was like a whole bunch of weird shit in those comics to begin with. Howard is probably the least weird character to come out of that.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that like he looked the way that he looks weirdly works because it gives us, it's kind of creepy, but it's also pretty funny. It holds up.
Yeah, no. And can we talk about the comics for a second? Because it's also weird that like Howard the Duck comes from the 70s, like 70s Marvel comics. And I don't know if this is right or not, but I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. But like there was this weird, I guess there's Looney Tunes, right? In the 50s, 60s, people grow up on that stuff. And then the 70s come around and then there's a lot of like animal comics. Like I might be crazy, but like, and this is probably the wrong turn, but like there's this like sexploitation of animation.
Yeah.
That happened. You were going to say of animals.
There's just like a lot of like people growing up with like, oh, the wholesome Looney Tunes, which weren't so wholesome. But then like there's like this explosion of like weird like parodies of Looney Tunes.
The very first issue of Howard the Duck ever is him climbing a tower.
Mm.
And you don't know why. And then at the end of the issue, you find out he's climbing the tower because he's going to jump off it and kill himself.
Yeah,
see,
that's the first issue.
That's crazy.
Of this comic. And like, I read that after I started reading the Zdarsky, the newer ones, which I loved. I really loved that reinvention. And so I'm like, oh, let me go back. And this was after Guardians brought him back.
Uh-huh.
I think I bought this movie on DVD, but did not watch it yet. I did not pull that trigger.
Yeah.
And then I read the first one. I was like, oh my God, like this is incredibly dark. Like he's like a suicidal duck or whatever. But yeah, there's something about that suit that is just, I don't know. It's freaky in and of itself.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's combined with, I think I could buy the suit if the voice was different. And I love Chip Zine.
Yeah.
I don't want this to sound, I love him as a musical theater fan. I love Chip Zine, but there's something I've always had. A deeper, more like gravelly New Yorker kind of voice in my head.
Yeah.
And I was like wishing it for not Pacino or somebody like that, but I'm like, would that have been interesting? I don't know.
And he hasn't had many lines in Guardians of the Galaxy in the new MCU movies.
Yeah, he's
like
two.
He has that voice, like that graspy, you know, little hardened Howard the Duck.
Yeah, it was like he was saying like such weird stuff, but it was still kind of cutesy. And I'm like, maybe that's the juxtaposition. Maybe that's why it works. There's something like it's $2 million suit, right? It costs $2 million.
And there was, $2
million. What, for the new Howard the Duck or the...
No, for the old one.
Yeah, like, and there were multiple. Like, I think one of them caught on fire.
Yep.
Yeah, they had like all, they had a whole bunch of crazy like mishaps that happened with them. But the comics, to go back to like what you were saying, there was like, and I was just looking it up to make sure because I remembered reading about this. There was this whole series that came out of comics, and Howard was actually introduced in Adventure into Fear, which was the American Horror comic book series that Marvel published, and that also introduced Man-Thing. Oh. And it was like then all these other weird characters kind of came out of that. So, yeah, Howard was one of them. I'm trying to remember what the other ones were. Like there were some, they were all like these weird, like you said, like these weird almost, it was almost satire, but almost like just really twisted, demented.
Yeah, like demented Donald Duck, demented
Bugs and that's
Bunny.
Where it became like a horror comedy. Yeah. It was like a whole like line, so to speak, of comics that they had out.
Well, I mean, Man-Thing technically was also my college nickname, so that was just a direct theft from me.
Well, that's it. That's now
sure
that's what you go by now.
Still,
that's
my neighbor calls me that, so it's like some kind of Man-Thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Did you know that Howard the Duck actually has like superpowers in the comics?
I know he had a sword and a bazooka at one point, but those aren't weapons. Aren't
I thought he was more of a weapons, like Rocket Raccoon style guy.
Well, he's a master of quack fu.
Of course. Yeah. Goes without saying.
He can do minimal magic manipulation.
Okay. Mm.
And then apparently he also becomes someone called Iron Duck. Because of course, if there's going to be like...
Iron everything.
I would hope
so. Well, if there can be, you know, Spider-Ham, then there can be Iron Duck. Yeah. And now I never realized till this moment, I desperately want that to be how an Iron Man comes back to the MCU. I want it to be Iron Duck.
Voiced by Billy Eichner?
You know, should it be or should it be like Bill Hader doing one of his weird voices?
Yes, yes. Oh, nailed it. Nailed it.
Disney Plus, if you're listening.
Nailed it.
Call me.
We just got the script to season two. What if episode?
I was on the way over here. I was like,
because
I like Seth.
Right
I like Seth Green, but I'm like, who like
Bill
for a
Hader.
Full thing? We know he can scream.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we know he can make any sound he needs.
Also.
And he's also a genius.
And he can also do a dead on Jabba impersonation.
That's true.
And so there you go.
And a dying Tauntaun.
Bill Hader in the MCU. Make it happen.
Here for it.
He has superhuman strength and durability, foot mounted leaping coils when he's Iron Duck, chest mounted searchlight, and flamethrowers in both arms. Because if there's anyone that you would want to have flamethrowers, it'd be Howard the Duck.
He's top of my list.
Of course.
He's just become my favorite character or superhero in the MCU.
That's bold, just decided, but you know, that's right now. Right now
listen, Cap is gone.
Yeah.
So sorry, Howard the Duck, you're in.
All right, coming to a fangirl's article soon.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm writing it in my head right now.
If in the She-Hulk show, it's like in the comic and the office next door is Howard in his detective agency that just happens to have the, and he doesn't have to be a big part of it.
I thought that was Daffy Duck that had the detective agency, or did they both?
I think they all ducks.
In the recent,
ducks being detectives, is that like a thing? Are they really smart as animals?
Yeah, they just like magnifying glasses.
They move quietly.
And they like getting to the bottom of things.
Waka waka. Oh, wait, that's Fozzie.
Well,
that's owned by Disney also. It's fine.
That would be a way to introduce him. It's like a She-Hulk, it just passes. It's like, don't worry about him. And it's like stealth setup.
Yeah.
It's like, because she, you know, was in there in his comic.
They're going to do it. It's going to happen.
I'm just saying, Marvel, I'll write this Howard the Duck movie.
After they hear this podcast.
And I volunteer to be in it. Fine. Okay. Twist my arm.
I mean, you can.
As large a part as you want.
I need a Kevin Smith-esque character somewhere in there.
Oh, I can.
You could
be
the Silent Bob of the MCU.
But can he talk?
Well, only like when he gets flustered.
He'll
and
be
then
talkative,
he has to,
Bob.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right. Let's go. We're
talk
so
about,
off track.
Yeah, we're
sorry.
Way off track.
Go, go, go.
Guys.
Anyway.
All right. So we talked a lot about setting up who Howard the Duck is, why this movie was made. All right. Let's just jump in to the rundown of this movie. But before we do that, let's introduce our Janky Jarvis, our good friend, Warvis. What's up, Warvis?
Hey, guys. It's me, Warvis. Excited to discuss Howard the Duck, obviously infamously known as having one of the weirdest sex scenes in superhero history. And there have been some weird sex scenes in superhero comics. I mean, Ant-Man shrinking down to go downtown. There's that weird Batman and Catwoman romp on the rooftop, but Howard the Duck really takes the cake.
Warvis is very excited about this movie.
Warvis, tone it down, please.
All right, so it's released August 1st, 1986. Opens on a cityscape. George Lucas presents Howard the Duck. Your expectations immediately. What do they do? Rise?
It's the saxophone comes. It's not this song, but it's the... not that song, but it's like pretty close.
No, totally. And it's just like, it's that typical coming home in the 80s to your apartment alone music.
Yeah, except everything is weirdly duck-oriented.
Yes, and, observing his apartment, let's see, there's the movie posters, Breeders of the Last Stork.
Yeah.
he has an answering machine message.
I completely forgot that everything is like 80s, but for ducks.
But for ducks. Everything. Oh, he's reading Play Duck.
That's right, he's reading Play Duck.
So we get the sex in there pretty much right from the
go. Right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
He's a horny duck.
Yeah.
On his answering machine, doesn't he have like a bunch of messages?
Yeah, so
from,
it's his mom, and then it's like a message
chick that he blew off or something.
Yeah.
Hi, honey. This is your mother. Listen, I know you're very busy with a new job, but please try and call us.
Howard, Jim here. Are you still set for racquetball on Saturday? Give me a shout, buddy. Bye bye.
So many duck puns. A little bit duck puns.
Doesn't he play a saxophone too?
I don't know if
I think he does.
He plays guitar. But I don't know if there's a saxophone in his apartment. He's an ex-musician, which we're going to find out later.
Yeah.
You know, but he was in Howard and the Heartbreakers.
That's right. Yeah. Howard and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, we see that poster in the apartment as well.
Oh, God, I wish they had released an album.
So.
And he just sits in his chair.
Yep, reading Play Duck.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden
he is pulled
by a force through the apartment building. He starts crashing through other people's apartments.
Casey, did you hear something?
And the infamous duck boob scene. The lady, the duck lady in the tub. Which immediately this goes, if you didn't get a hint that this wasn't a family film in the
Yeah.
If
you didn't have the first 10 hints, here's the 11th.
Now I'm curious to know what you guys thought about that. As a kid, I was so weirded out by this. I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it. But it was just such an odd...
I think the thing that's messed up is I'm thinking back at, but as a kid, every single thing that was so inappropriate, I laughed at. And I don't know if it's because I didn't understand what I was laughing at. So I was nervous laughing, or I was laughing because I'm this is so ridiculous. Yeah. This duck has tits.
Yeah. People made that.
Imagine being the person who's hold on. Oh, you know what? Make the cup a little bit bigger. Yeah. Should she have nipples? These are the conversations I want to know if they happen.
It's Michael, why are you working such long hours? It's honey, I got to get these duck boobs perfect. You don't understand. George is breathing down my neck. Shut up.
Don't look.
Fun fact, that person went on to become a renowned puppet, implant specialist.
Yep. So any puppet wants a little
Doug
lift.
Jones.
No, it's 5 minutes into this movie, it's already giving me Meet the Feebles vibes. And I'm but that one I was prepared for because that's that movie's whole thing. Yeah. And I'm wow, this is, oh my God, that's if you want to
follow, this is a great chaser for Howard the Duck.
Yeah, it's one of the most intense vomit inducing movies ever, and not just with puppets, period.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
I'm gonna watch it right after this.
All right, so Howard's pulled through the universe, then we get the voiceover. That really cool voiceover that Brian
Richard Kiley. It's Richard Kiley. The voice you're now hearing is Richard Kiley. Spared no expense. The original Don Quixote and Man of La Mancha to continue the musical theater theme.
That's amazing.
And it's his only appearance. He's here we are on the planet, blah, blah, blah. And there we are.
Can you just talk like that?
In the beginning, there was Howard the Duck.
Yeah. And it's. And it's and I was really? And it was it's kind of an indie font, but not really. Yeah. There's something about the font.
It's Back to the Future-esque, indie-esque. It's whatever that 80s font that
but
was
with curves,
everything.
And
it's
duck bill
word
colored.
Art, impact.
Yeah.
Clip art.
It's like,
so oh, it was I, such clip art.
I was I was so confused as to.
It was done on MSP.
I'm dying. That's hilarious. MS Paint. All right, so then he crashes down into our Earth and lands in Cleveland.
Even, no offense, but even people on our earth aren't like going to Cleveland.
You know, Cleveland is a wonderful city, but it's amazing how much of a joke Cleveland is in the 80s.
It's still an easy joke. Like 80s Cleveland makes like 80s Lower East Side look like Disney World.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like,
yeah.
It's like the roughest place ever.
It's like Pittsburgh is a very nice place, but it's so much fun making Pittsburgh jokes.
Yes.
No offense to anyone who lives there.
No.
It's a very nice place.
I mean, listen, I'm from Jersey, so don't talk to me about making jokes out of places.
Yeah, that's true. At least it's not Cleveland.
But we immediately see he lands in Cleveland and he's like this rough part of Cleveland.
Yeah.
He immediately starts to get roughed up by this like typical 80s punker band.
Which are everywhere.
Yeah. It's like, where's
the Clockwork Orange gang going to drop by?
And they always... Right, exactly. It's always like if you're in a band, you're also in a gang.
Yeah.
It's like this very weird...
It's another 80s
thing. Immediately reminded me, one of them I thought was Flea from Back to the Future 2. Because or I forget the one, he's like, "Gang, come on, let's race." You know, it's like those guys. And it's like, but it's not just them, it's everyone,
everyone
in Cleveland hates him so much.
Yes.
And I'm like,
and it's not even like, oh, it's a duck that's talking and walking on
Nobody
two legs.
Seems freaked out.
They just are like, fuck you, guy. Like,
yeah. It's just
you're not
hatred.
From Cleveland.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with that it's a talking duck. It's like probably he's not from Cleveland. Even in the diner later, they just, the hatred for, I'm like, what is the problem with you
and
people?
And the best part is how like Howard is like the most like posh, like refined person.
Yes.
He's a duck compared to literally every person he encounters in Cleveland.
Yeah, and he's not really an asshole to these people.
Yeah.
He's like, until they screw with them. Yeah.
No, he's kind of pretentious.
There's
though.
A line where he goes, "This is no place for an intelligent, sensitive duck."
Yeah.
Cleveland.
And I'm like, is he sensitive in the car? I guess he,
nah,
I don't remember
I mean,
him being
you know?
Sensitive. But that's what makes Leah Thompson stick out because
who
I imagine we're doing a big wind-up to.
And of course, because then he goes into the club and that's where he sees her after a gig and she's walking home through the roughest part of Cleveland that's like all gates and garbage bags in an alley that's also under, it's like every cliche. It's like
it's
an
the
overpass.
Same set
the rain.
From Escape from New York. Yeah. And they're like, we're building it, so just shoot it here.
All right. But let's talk about Leah Thompson.
Let's talk about
Who
Leah
accepts
Thompson.
Him immediately.
Immediately.
Within seconds. Yeah. It's like
Doesn't
talking
think it's
duck.
Weird.
Yep, that's fine. And she's on the train, like all the way to, and that train's going to Pound Town eventually.
I mean,
you know, she should have gotten an Oscar for this movie.
She's a triple
because
double threat.
Because she sings.
Sings
she
all the
commits.
Songs.
Which, by the way, she never sang until this movie.
Right.
And they were going to, still thinking of redubbing her.
Yeah.
It's like, she even said in the commentary, I think, it's like, I think they still want to.
Oh,
like,
crazy.
They were, it was
like,
never
the movie's
said.
Movie's been out, and I'm pretty sure they're going to redub me any day now.
But she commits and is just like, a force of joy in this, and I was like, oh man.
But how do you keep a straight face delivering
I know
any of those lines to a fucking duck?
She commits to it.
She really
and having
does.
Like on set the Admiral Akbar giving you the lines back, it's like it wasn't whoever that was feeding the lines back, but it's like Naomi Watts and Andy Serkis level work.
No,
here.
Yeah, but that's the thing, it's
believe because she believes.
Right. Yeah. And it's not like you had like a crouched down Sean Gunn to talk to.
Yeah.
Like I think they just literally had a stuffed dummy version of Howard the Duck on set. She's talking to.
But it's a person in a duck suit, right?
No, there's. I think
there's got to be parts.
They tried that. They
tried it, and because it's so it's actually it's an animatronic.
Hey, kudos to them.
There's about six or seven puppeteers.
Amazing.
That are credited.
Yeah.
It's one of which I always remember. It was Tim Rose who was Admiral Akbar. That's why I mentioned it. But
amazing.
It's they tried like a variety of different ways. They eventually wanted to put a kid in the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then realize
right.
that that's not going to work.
It's probably a safety hazard.
Yeah,
it will die.
They're like Warwick Davis
for so many reasons.
No.
And this was way before child labor laws on movie sets.
Yeah.
So like,
or child labor laws that are like, okay, the kid can work on the movie, but you're not putting them in a duck suit.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that blew this whole deal.
Howard the kid.
And the kid would be like actually smoking the cigars. Like it'd be
having to do the things that anything in this movie, it's like having a kid on that set is not a good idea.
No.
Well, all right. Well, Howard now, he survives the street gangs of Cleveland, stumbles upon the club.
Yes.
Satan Sluts. I don't know if you caught that. The biker gang was called Satan Sluts.
Of course. Yeah. Satan Sluts.
Commit. Gotta commit.
We meet Leah Thompson, who is Beverly. Mm-hmm. As we just said, she instantly has this thing for Howard.
And she's the lead singer. Her band name, by the way, rocks, because her band name is Cherry Bomb.
Cherry Bomb.
That also has Holly Robinson in it.
Exactly. But of course, I'm a little like, we'll have a soft spot because, of course, you know, it's like a nod to the Runaways.
Yeah.
All
right.
They were not as good as the Runaways.
They didn't make it.
No.
I would love to see the behind the music of Cherry Bomb.
Oh, my God.
I'd love to see the behind the music
of
Howard and the Howard. What was Howard's band?
Howard and the Heartbreakers.
That one too.
See, somebody should make a behind the music documentary about Howard.
Yeah,
the Duck.
I'm into it.
If no one does that in the next five minutes, we're doing
it. You're on internet. All right, so they go back to her apartment. It's actually a really nice apartment. She says it's dumb, but I think it's awesome.
It's like a loft. It looks like an IKEA.
Beautiful.
It's a pretty sick apartment. Even for like 2019 standards.
And for Cleveland, it's like, okay.
I mean, for Cleveland, it's the Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
So then Howard falls asleep as Beverly gazes lovingly on him and starts going through his wallet, where she sees again
a duck condom.
The duck condom, the duck credit cards. But I guess the duck condom's the weirdest because it's not in a wrapper.
It's not in a wrapper. And it's so funny too. Like, when I was in high school for like a hot minute, I worked at a photo place and they have the little finger condoms when you're like printing the photos.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And every time I'd see them I would think I don't wear the talk because it's what it's what the size of the condom.
They show the condom, right? And I'm
that's
like,
a great childhood memory.
And I really and I'll never look at those things the same way. I'll never look at condoms the same way again.
Well, but I mean, like, people don't like, you know, get film like developed anymore.
I'm looking I see the condom, and at this point I'm fully expecting to see Howard's dick.
Yeah,
I'm like, it's only a matter of time before
I'm actually shocked.
I've seen the boobs. I'm like it's not even
even like a silhouette of like a duck hard on, which I am convinced somewhere on a cutting room floor there is. I want the director's cut of that. Like, fuck, like the director's cut of Batman versus whatever, Justice League. I want the director's cut.
You want the
cut.
Snyder cut.
Give me the Snyder cut of Howard the Duck.
Snyder cut.
Well, ma'am, he didn't work on Howard the Duck. It's like, I don't care.
Release the Snyder
cut of Howard the Duck now.
That's what I want.
Listen up, fucks. It's like, no, it ducks. Sorry.
There's a plane flying over New York City right now.
Yeah,
it's like, let's rent that
San
billboard because there's no better place to put our money.
We should get people to dress up as Howard the Duck and show up to New York Comic Con and protest.
Just with release the Howard
and a sponge of finger condoms.
Oh, wait, yep. So I'm
surprised by the end of this movie that I didn't see his dick, and I'm like, am I happy about it? Probably, but then I'm like, a part of me, if I had to be honest, was kind of like
ripped off.
Felt a little cheated.
Because you saw the duck tits. Like, come on.
Like, is it going to look like? Is it going to be feathered? Is it going to be, is cutting the feathers off the duck version of circumcision,
like a circumcision
in this world?
Or just like the classic cut to like black and you just hear the zip and it's like, oh, ducky.
They didn't even, the police academy too. Yeah. They didn't even do that. It's like, so, and they do like everything else.
Yeah.
When they even strip him at one point, they keep his shorts on. I was like, and part of me was like, oh, good, they kept the shorts on.
I'm a full believer in full frontal. If you're going to do it for the woman, you should do it for the guys.
Yep.
Speaking of full frontal, I just want to get Warvis in on the conversation. Warvis, do ducks have boobs? Was that a thing?
You know, I don't think you guys pay me enough to handle questions like that. Do ducks have, wait a second, you don't even pay me at all. This is an outrage. It's a scandal. I guess I'll do my job. Do ducks have boobs? Birds don't have nipples. They're not mammals. When we talk about a bird's breasts, it's usually referring to their pectoral muscles that they use for flight. And I can't believe I just answered that.
I mean, I love that you had to ask Warvis if ducks, have you ever seen a duck?
I mean, I know duck breasts because you eat duck breasts, right? But they're not real breasts.
They do not have nipple areas,
there you
correct?
Go. Thank you. Okay,
which
good.
Is a little misleading that
glad
they're
called
we breasts.
Clarified that. I know Warvis, we wanted to really cover that. So let's move on.
Thank you so much, Warvis.
The way I see it now is like, you know, Howard is a humanized duck. He has moved down the evolutionary chain and now has, have human features in their world. So his penis is probably more that, like, human.
Metamorphic.
Yeah.
They really the word you're looking for.
Pound us over the head with that evolutionary track.
Yeah.
Later in the movie.
I'm so thankful that we got that knowledge.
Fuck science.
So, yeah, well, it's speaking
like Tim
of
Robbins
science.
Is like, I'm in a museum. I'm Tim Robbins. Yeah. This is how this works. I'm like, thank you.
Perfect
Tim
segue, because that's the next scene. The next day, she takes him to his her scientist friend who we find out is a lab.
They friends, by the way.
Exactly. It's thrown out. Don't you know that scientists always hang out with punks?
So this is one of the best parts that is totally a throwaway line. Phil is dating one of the members of Cherry Bomb. So later in the movie, he comes in, he shows up, and it's like, and he even has a line that he tells his girlfriend. He's running out, and he's like, no sex now, I'm working. It's like,
I mean, I feel like that's a very scientist thing to say.
Yeah,
but that's my prejudice
but for
about
that
scientists.
Character, yes. I'd be like, okay,
it's
let's
so
see
weird.
If I can do both at the same time.
Right.
What kind
of
scientist? Like, I'm unimpressed.
Well, Phil's
he's friends with the guy. With
but
the
is he like really a scientist?
Yes, definitely.
Or is he like the guy that like cleans the floors at the
museum? Yeah, he's like a lab assistant.
Okay.
So, but he has dreams of becoming a famous
in that hotbed of Cleveland science.
Yeah. But the thing too, because it made it seem like they were in the Museum of Natural History, but does Cleveland have a Museum of Natural History?
Sure.
Does Cleveland have a museum, period?
I know.
It's like it's Cleveland's version of the Frick.
It's the museum of street gangs.
The only thing I know about Cleveland is that didn't Drew Carey's show take place in Cleveland?
Oh God!
I don't know why I know that because I've never seen that show in my life.
Probably.
And then that they have a football team that I keep forgetting exists.
Oh, the Browns.
Yes, which it's like that should tell you everything about that city. Like that is the most boring name.
Our mascot's
to a sports
a color.
Team. Exactly. And it's not even a good color.
If you're from Cleveland, be sure to rate and subscribe to the
I'm sorry, Cleveland.
Sorry, tourism of Cleveland.
I'm sure we're really hurting
you
right now.
Back on. So now we find out that, like, you know, Phil's kind of a hack and Howard and Bev have this fight. So Howard kind of goes off and he's like, you know what? I'm going to live my life here on this world. He tries to get a job.
With the nurse from Ferris Bueller, Virginia Capers,
who's
the one who's like, your grandmother has passed.
Yep.
I was trying to pick out who that was the entire scene.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, it's Virginia Capers.
It's always because they would use the same, like, I feel like there's only like 30 actors.
Yes. In the 80s, there are 30
in
actors.
All the movies.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bunch of them, and I couldn't call them out, but there are definitely a few 80s all stars that pepper throughout this movie.
Yeah. There is also an 80s, you know, person who's now a Voldemort, so we shall not say his name, that is in this movie, as well as Ferris Bueller.
So, yeah.
And David, you get David Paymer. In there, the great David Paymer pops up as a scientist briefly. I guess I'm the only Paymer maniac in the room.
We're like,
where are you,
crickets?
Paymer peeps? Come on, somebody listening loves him.
You'll get a tweet from David Paymer when this comes out. It's
I
fine.
Love you, David Paymer.
So,
he's on Twitter?
So Howard being out stuck in the world, he stumbles upon and finally realizes that, like, we eat duck on this planet, we hunt duck on this planet, and he kind of has like a big freak out moment, which leads him magically back to Beverly's club, where he comes in.
And it's like the roughest club in the world.
Yeah, because like Beverly's singing like a very sad song, and then she cuts it in the middle, and she's like, no, this is too depressing. And then she amps it up.
Yeah.
She pulls a full-on Sally Bowles.
Yeah,
there you go.
Right as Howard steps on
like
a hypodermic.
That scene in reality, it's like that scene in Reality Bites, only not good.
Yeah.
Like when Troy is like singing, you know, and
it's
like
it's a lot like that scene.
He starts singing but he's singing Violent Femmes. Like she's singing, I don't know what she's singing.
Something by Cherry Bomb.
Yeah.
That she's actually singing. So Howard overhears her managers, who are like horrible men.
Hey, we're gonna rip a roll.
Yeah. We're gonna manage her into
into the ground.
Which is of course a total 80s stereotype of like a scumbag Italian. Which do they have those in Cleveland? I don't even know.
Yeah. The thriving Italian managerial community in Cleveland, as well as science and
there's
museums.
There's a mafia apparently in Cleveland.
They run the museums.
They do run the museums.
Here's this part I wrote down. They go, hey, we're gonna give her a little career manipulation. That's what
is that even supposed to mean?
That's one of the lines though. And they call her Bodacious Beverly.
Then
Howard's pretty much just like, don't mess with me. I'm a duck. I'm gonna fuck you guys up.
I'm
like,
3 feet tall, but I can kick your ass because I'm a master of quack foo.
Yeah. Howard the Duck is very brave.
No more Mr. Nice Duck.
Recognize.
He blows smoke in the face. The bar fight scene is going nuts. And then he like, this also freaked me out as a kid. He almost like stabs the manager with an ice pick.
Yes,
it's
true.
It's made to think that it like goes through his eye, but then it just goes through his huge one hoop earring.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's how he keeps him down, and then he threatens him with, there's like two of them. All of a sudden he has two awls.
Yeah. But I also love that it's like it goes through the earring, which like, do people not know how earrings work? You could just take the earring off.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But I guess no.
For a second, I thought it was a gauge and that this manager was a trendsetter.
No.
So, well, anyway, so now this Beverly fires her manager. They make up. Howard and Beverly make up. This is when we learn that Phil is dating.
They make up. I seriously thought
he gets it in
that they like. I couldn't believe I'm starting to watch this movie. I'm like, oh, well, obviously, you know, Tim Robbins and Leah Thompson will be like the human love story.
No.
And Howard is the weird outlier. You know, it's like, and it's like, no, it's actually like Leah Thompson and Howard sexually.
Oh, very
like
much so.
A romantic relationship.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, but then she'll dump him and end up with Tim Robbins. No, I was wrong. I was like, for pretty much the whole movie, I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
I want to know what that conversation was like with Leah Thompson. Like, so you're going to fall in love with and fuck a duck. And then, like, what was that paycheck that was like, yeah, I'll do this.
You know, I mean, you got to look at George Lucas calls you and he's like,
I
just made Star Wars.
Like, I'm wondering if like George Lucas had a still.
Now you're going to have sex with this duck.
I mean,
it rhymes.
It's poetry. It rhymes. So you fuck him in the beginning. You got to fuck him in the end. Also, there are midichlorians. So just deal with that.
I'm just wondering, like, was he like still like doing like acid and all like those other drugs at this time? Like, what's going
on? At the time, he said in 20 years this movie will be looked on as a masterpiece. It is now 20 years later, and from what I'm looking at,
look,
it's
what
like,
I made happen to Yoda's career. Okay, the duck.
Yo, yeah, look at Yoda.
Listen,
look at Akbar. Look at the fucking
play ball,
Ewoks.
Motherfucker.
You want to be in their league? You're gonna have sex with this duck. All roads eventually will lead you to Caroline in the city. Okay?
How would the duck the lunchbox? How would the duck the video game?
How would the duck
little
the
girls are gonna be dressing up like Bombshell Beverly, just like she's Madonna.
Oh,
did girls dress up like Bombshell Beverly?
No, that
back
never
in the
happened.
80s? That's not a costume.
No.
Rubies doesn't make that.
No.
I mean, because also it's just fair to like this. I want to say it again. I love Leah Thompson. This was the movie that really
did it for me.
Yeah,
she's great.
Again, and then she goes right from fucking a duck into almost
fucking her
son.
Yeah.
Thanks.
it's like, thanks for drawing that parallel.
Yeah, no
problem. That's a weird,
I'd like
and
to
who,
think we
And who made Back to the Future?
Yeah,
that's true.
But wait a second. Like, so it's like you have like some of the greatest directors of ever, and that's what they do to
you. It's not her fault. Yeah.
I know, but it's like I kind of feel like they both owe her.
It's like, so he's my son. It's like, well, he's not a duck. So progress.
Well, anyway, after this amazing scene, she comes on to him.
Poor
she's
Leah.
Joking.
Yeah.
Something's about to happen. Howard has this weird moment with his feathers go up. It's
couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
But then they're interrupted by Phil, Carter, and Dr. Jenning, who basically these are Phil's friends. They work at a better laboratory, a real
that has a
scientific
giant
laboratory.
Space sucking laser.
The laser again, spectroscope.
Yeah, what better city to play host to such a machine than Cleveland?
I heard they had fantastic tax benefits for
lasers.
For Dynametrics Lab or whatever this is.
Yeah. Dynametrics.
I think that's the name of the lab or something like that.
You expect like Richard Attenborough to walk in and goes, well, we're not making the same mistakes again.
That's the Snyder cut. Snyder cut.
I want that mashup now.
So basically,
Jeff Goldblum needed to be in this movie.
How was he not?
Oh my God.
He needed to
because
be
this was
in
like,
this movie.
He wasn't. His weirdness was not. He was like too weird for this movie, believe it or not, in the
80s. Yeah. He was like scary weird. Yeah. He wasn't like fun
MCU,
weird yet.
If we get the Bill Hader Howard the Duck, I'm going to
need
him.
Oh, no. Jeff Goldblum's in it.
In a Grandmaster.
Listen, I told you I'm writing this.
Okay.
It should be a Grandmaster spinoff, Howard
absolutely.
The Duck.
Yeah. Grandmaster would absolutely be in Howard's world.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's tackle that in our speculation later. Continuing.
That's fine.
On,
I'm just making notes.
No, no, no. Yeah. That's make so notes. That is good.
So I can pitch these to Marvel.
I already got the writers, the writing room going yeah. over here. We're all good.
So, okay. So basically they come up with, the scientists are like, hey, like we have this thing, but this is how we got you here. We can reverse it. We can send you back. So
I was
they,
like, good.
Great.
I want to go home.
Yeah, we're
to
on
my
our way.
Egg-shaped Earth.
Yeah, he was like, "Sorry, Leia Thompson. Like that was great, but not that great." You yeah. know, so
hate to duck and run.
Oh wow!
Oh my god! It's wow. like
I can't believe they didn't use that in the movie.
They don't now they for the amount of duck puns
yeah, they
never do one like an F-bomb duck
no.
replacement.
Yeah.
Nobody says, "Oh, duck off," or yeah. "What the duck,"
I
or
know.
Anything
go
like
yourself.
That.
Really. Dropped the yep. ball with that.
That's
one.
Where yep. they drew the line. It's like because they use literally every other one. Yep. There
they
is to make.
Literally had duck tits.
And not yeah, and not just duck puns, but like every pun,
yeah.
every pun
every
and stereotypical
pun.
Cliche yep. phrase you could use in a movie.
Wasn't yep. there even like a weightlifting magazine that had like a duck version of Arnold Schwarzenegger or something on
there
it?
There was a commercial.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah. It's like yeah. they
in
all, but I think somebody at one point in this movie probably said, "We're going to do one last job."
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like every cliche possible is in there.
George and Lucas came in and just pointed at the wall and said, more,
yeah,
more duck cliches.
More of this. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I love you, George.
Yep, I love you, George, too.
Please
You're
hire me.
Yeah. So anyway, so, okay, so now they get back to this lab and they're going to send Howard up, but they get there and there's chaos there. There's the
chaos
the,
in the lab.
The laser has exploded. It
oh,
backfired.
They get there, it's like, yeah. don't worry, our lab is very safe.
Yeah.
It's the safest laser lab in Cleveland. Cut to the sense, oh my God, it's on fire, yeah. everything. It's like people, it's instant pandemonium.
Oh, it's absolutely
crazy. There's
not a
moment of safety in this
yeah.
lab.
Somebody says, like, they open the door and, like, a scientist falls out and he's like, we have no right to tamper with the universe. And he like falls down, which is an absolutely great moment.
And how that wasn't Richard Attenborough, I'll
no,
never know.
It's like,
and then
life did find a way.
Like, right, exactly. Like they knew what they were doing. I don't know. It looks like they didn't, but then somebody says, like,
I'm regretting every life choice I ever made.
My favorite thing is, like, if you think of every, like, again, every 80s movie that had any type of, like, speculation of science in it.
Yeah.
There was no attempt to talk to a real scientist whatsoever. Yeah.
But I actually thought the science was pretty sound. I thought everything
yeah.
sounded
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, well,
I
mean, when I was like 12,
it.
I thought this was,
yeah.
I was
Look,
like, holy
we got
shit.
This laser. We tried yeah. to suck something up in it. It
yeah.
sucked up you, a duck, instead. It happens all the
it
time.
Everything
science.
I knew about science at that age came from yeah. this movie and Real Genius.
Yes.
So that's
yeah.
really not
oh,
saying
Oh, then there you
much.
Go. That's all you need.
Yeah.
So there you go. So then they say they brought Howard down the first time, but what if they brought something else the second? Time
and
so.
not like the power of love
foreshadowing
exactly
yeah, a big healthy
so,
bowl of exposition
yep so this is when the police arrive they take Howard this is the scene where they try to take off his suit you know and the
yeah,
police
and they,
are molesting
get,
him and
they
realize
they
that he's a real
to
duck
the boxers but they yep. don't like this is another moment I'm like
yeah,
here
I don't
go
understand
we're
that
gonna yet. See it and then I didn't see it and I'm like good I didn't see it and then part of me's like
But
yeah,
I
but
feel
you,
what
the police
saw.
You want to see it. And
yeah.
then the whole rest of the day, I was like, why did I want to see it?
Yeah.
Why did I want to see this duck's dick?
We might have to call the therapist after this podcast.
Oh, he was on the phone,
All
trust
right.
me.
And, oh,
he's, and he's like, I give up.
What does it mean about me that I wanted to
yep.
see a
it's
duck's
like,
dork?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so then, oh shit, it's Dr. Jenning, and he's back. But something's not right with Dr.
Something
Jenning.
Is afoot.
Something is afoot. He's he escapes.
I have no follow up.
He breaks out. He breaks out. Howard and Bev, or I don't know. They get out.
And
they
he's
get
he's kind of likable at this point.
Oh,
because
yeah.
he's on their
yeah.
side,
yeah.
and they're in like that's yep. when they go to the weirdest diner.
Yes.
It's like Joey Roma's sushi diner.
I feel
yes.
like they. I feel like they just like for some reason couldn't decide if they wanted to shoot this in New York, but they like maybe couldn't afford to. So they
yeah.
were like, let's just say Cleveland.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, and it's all white waiters with. Japanese headbands
yeah. mm-hmm.
and a sushi chef who
yeah.
is Japanese, but it's like a regular diner, but
it was
a
sushi Japanese
restaurant.
Owned, I think, like, I don't know.
It's
like
just
weird.
The 80s obsession with Japanese
yeah.
culture.
And I'm
and
looking
like,
at it, I'm like,
through.
I've never seen that restaurant.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
yeah.
even in Cleveland.
Nope.
You know what, though? Like, I don't know that I wouldn't go to that restaurant now that I think about
so
it.
Wait, my favorite part about this is this whole scene in the diner is like Jennings is churning into the overlord. And he's
yeah.
like, he's like slowly going in and out of Dr.
It's
Jennings
a very
into the overlord.
Subtle performance.
Very
yeah.
But the best part is Leah Thompson multiple times keeps thinking it's like a stomach bug. And she's
yeah.
like, what'd
yeah.
you eat for lunch? What'd you eat for lunch? He's like, he's transforming
yeah.
into an interdimensional being in front of you,
yeah,
and you still think it's indigestion.
It's like there's this episode of Looney Tunes with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah. It's even at the end where the creature comes out, it's like, it must have been the chicken salad.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. I think they're pretty sure there's a line.
What
like,
do
oh,
they
yeah,
serve
yeah.
at this diner?
Yeah, I told you it was off.
One of the waiters says like, oh, you must have had the special.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my
yes,
God.
Right.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
It's what I ordered. Change mine to the soup. Good move.
Right, it's right. Like, I'll this, have what he's having.
Yeah, it's one step, one webbed toe away from Spaceballs. This
so,
entire time.
It really is. So, so the chaos ensues in the diner. They try to kill Howard.
Yeah, they literally the like, guy, the truckers in yeah. like in the or they're working on construction.
Yeah,
or
they're
whatever.
Stereotypical asshole
truckers. They just
truckers.
Come in. They look. They instantly hate him. And I hate yeah. these guys even worse than the rockers from before because yeah. they're like just the hatred pouring out of him is to such a degree where I'm like, what did he ever do to you?
Yeah, he
I'm
suck.
Like, yeah. yeah, it's like he's the wrong, he's the right, he's duck in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And they just, and so he just like, they really start effing with him. They're throwing yeah. him around.
They start ducking with him.
Yeah. Yep. They yep. really duck the
they
walls.
Duck.
And Jenning, you know, starts taking him out with his power. And yes. I'm like, and that's the diner
yep.
tables are flying fast.
Yep, he has telekinesis. He's yeah. got energy blasts.
Whatever the script needs him to have.
Exactly. That's the best.
An Iron Man suit flies in. It's like the prodigal son returns. Yeah, it's like, wow, he's powerful. And he's kind of on our side. So good.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're still not really listening to him. Like. Because like Howard at the end of this is still calling him Jenning. It's like he's told yeah. you multiple times he wants to destroy the earth.
Yeah, and he has like a bulging thing coming out of his
yeah,
head.
Yeah.
It's like he's obviously not quite Jenning.
Yeah.
yeah. So anyway, Jenning kidnaps Beverly now and they steal a Mack truck and they head towards a nuclear power plant because he needs
the best
energy.
Yeah, the best getaway
also
vehicle possible.
A nuclear yep. power plant in
yeah.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course there is. I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, if
yeah.
you're going to have a scientific
I mean,
lab, a museum and a rock
in fact, I think now to come to think of it, I think that's why they said it was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Just so
they need the power plant. Yeah.
Like, well, we need a power plant. So now let's make all this other stuff happen.
Yeah. So. Also, if something goes wrong,
it's Cleveland.
Yeah,
it's fine.
So it's like something's going wrong anyway.
Yeah.
So then, okay. So then basically Howard and Phil escape the police and they find a small plane in the parking lot.
As one does.
You know, I saw one coming over here today.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's one of those fold-up plywood planes.
Yeah.
Maybe I should take it the rest of the way. Because apparently they're easy to assemble and fly.
Exactly.
Almost as easy as a hot air balloon.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
I would have preferred a hot air balloon.
That would have been amazing if it was a hot air balloon.
This chase
imagine
scene.
A hot air balloon
hot
chase.
Hot air balloon chase.
That's literally.
But it was shaped like an egg.
That's literally Police Academy 4 or 5.
Yeah, I know. That's why I want
yeah,
it. It's like we need Tackleberry just yeah. flies past him. It's like, can I see your license or in the wrong movie?
There's a multiverse that contains Howard the Duck and Police Academy. Police Academy, you know what? That's my new theory. Police Academy and Howard the Duck exist in the same universe.
And you know what? I think so does Mork from Mork.
Perfect. Done.
There you go.
All right. So now this is like the longest chase scene in movie history.
It goes on for so long to the point where I'm like, I get it.
It's like somebody's like, hey, we bought the plane. So
I'm pretty sure this chase scene inspired Michael Bay's entire career.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
like
just for too long.
Yeah. Coverage. We need more coverage of the plane. We need as much coverage of the plane and the chases we can get.
Listen, all the money's in the plane. It's all
like,
on the plane.
That's where I put it all. You know, cause, come on. And it's like, sir, it's a 45-minute sequence. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah, the movie's an hour and 50 minutes. But anyway,
most of it's that chase scene.
Yeah. And 45 minutes, like at least.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like it's the Avengers
an hour and 40 minutes
assembling.
It's a 4-hour chase
yeah.
scene,
yeah.
which I don't know how time-wise they made that happen.
Snyder.
That's also what the duck penis is.
They luckily make it now back to Dynatechnics in time for the final showdown. So Overlord is now like fully Mr. Overlord. He is no more Jennings. In fact, one point, the last time we hear from Jennings, he's like, I'm dead. And he's like, yes, you're dead. And I'm taking over.
It's
now.
Like, and then he turns into like a Demogorgon thing.
Yes, after they blast him with this laser that they find, the cool laser. They
yeah,
find in the...
it's like attached to like a Zamboni.
Yeah, yes, yeah. That's what
yeah,
I wrote.
Yeah.
A Zamboni.
It's attached
yeah.
to Zamboni.
It's like just in case there's a hockey game that breaks yeah. out, we're gonna have one.
And side note about my Howard the Duck fandom: when I was a kid, I built that laser car in Legos, and I used the laser was like made out of Technic pieces. So Lego, if you're listening, I want the.
That's
commemorative
amazing.
Lego.
You
they should
no
make a commemorative
yeah.
Howard
I made
Duck.
That.
My already very high respect for you,
you.
Just smashed right through the
they
room.
They should do
yeah,
a whole
really
line. Like
that.
They have the Star Wars yeah. scenes you can build. They yeah. should just make scenes from Howard
but
the Duck.
But I love that car. I thought it was so
how
awesome.
How committed are you, Disney?
Yeah. I mean, you got it.
There is a Lego Howard the Duck in the Lego Marvel Superheroes.
That's amazing. I need to buy that right away.
So they already have, you can play as him.
Amazing.
So they already like have the design.
So I'm going to rebuild
it. Is there a cherry bomb?
No, there isn't. He takes out a bazooka. It's like, yeah, he's in like a little hat. And
the set is cherry bomb and the laser car. I love it.
Sadly, there's not a level set in Dynatech.
Well, all right. So anyway, so then, yeah, this whole big final battle ensues and, you know, we can talk about it more. But like, essentially, he uses the laser. They win the day. They defeat the Overlord.
And Jennings survives.
Which I was really happy because I thought like he was a good character and I was going to be sad if he didn't make it.
And he survives. And then right as they're going to bring more back, more dark Overlords. Well, I don't know how they share that power.
Right.
They're all Overlords or whatever. But Howard destroys the laser, but it means he has to stay.
Exactly. Yeah. So he makes the hero's choice. Yes. You know,
that's his. It's his. You're not one to make the sacrifice play.
Yeah.
It's like, but he does.
Yep.
But it's Howard.
He totally pulls a Tony Stark,
which is amazing.
Which is why he becomes Iron Duck.
Right.
See, all going right back.
And
to it.
I am Iron Duck, but he can't snap, so it's like feather on feather.
Yeah.
He quacks.
With the Iron Man music.
It's like,
but it's by a cover band of ducks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Howard and the Heartbreakers sing Iron Man.
So now we get to my favorite part of the movie,
only
which
gives,
is
like one wah in the whole movie.
What? Oh yeah, he doesn't like.
There's only one.
He doesn't quack
that I heard.
Either.
No. There's no quack.
Well,
but
he is a sophisticated, sensitive duck.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just know in the cut, he's constantly
there's
saying
no toxic masculinity.
Wah is spelled like W-A-U-G-H. So it's constantly he's making that sound.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a wah or wah. I don't know. But he only makes something slightly kind of like that once.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we get to the final scene. My favorite part of the movie, I think. It's like the big, happy Howard the Duck song.
The Battle of the Bands.
It's literally
just
like the Ewok like celebration
it
at
is.
The end.
And this is what I miss about 80s movies. I mean, and they still do today to an extent, but like the song crafted for the movie was such an art unto itself. And I loved when it would always find the way to cram the song into the movie.
Yeah.
That's what Avatar was missing. Instead of just playing it over the credits, having them break out and having the singer
just
sing it.
Yeah.
That's what they really get with Shrek.
Yes.
It's like they just openly do it.
Yeah.
It's like Smash Mouth.
Yeah, here you go. Everybody loves Smash Mouth. So,
I mean,
this is pretty much the
literally,
Smash
Mouth. Literally everybody.
This is the Smash Mouth ending.
Smash Beak.
Smash Beak. So,
when Leah Thompson sings the Howard the Duck
song. And
she's
great. It's awesome. Yeah. And you know what? You can't find that song anywhere. They don't sell the Howard the Duck soundtrack. And I wonder if it's because of, like, they just can't pay.
I don't know that
because
there ever was a soundtrack.
There was. Yeah. There was.
Like, released?
Released.
Probably on eBay.
But you can't buy it digitally now, so then you got to just go eBay.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the Willow soundtrack. Yeah. Like, good luck finding it.
Listen,
I did just buy the Fast Times at Ridgemont High soundtrack on vinyl, so maybe Howard the Duck.
I'm going to need Howard the Duck on vinyl.
I think eBay. That needs to be on vinyl.
I'm sure,
eBay
has it.
All right, well, Cher, you start
looking for it.
We'll wrap up this part of the show. That is Howard the Duck, the movie.
That has been Howard the Duck, your ducking welcome.
If you haven't already bought this movie or rented it, I mean, you're going to do it now. So
if you have Stars, you can, you know, so if you're
is
looking,
it on Stars?
Where is it streaming? It's like Stars has it. So you can get in your Black Sails, your Outlander, and
Listen,
Stars.
Oh my God, you guys.
And Howard the Duck all at the same time.
There it is.
It is? How
on
much?
On eBay vinyl. Well, there's a pre-owned one for $16.93. No, hold on. Yeah, $16.93.
Okay, I'm on it.
That's kind of not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Then it goes all the way up to $400 because this one apparently is personal. Oh, it's signed by Ed Gale and Tim Rose.
That's great.
That one's $400.
Tim Rose, that's Akbar.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And on the break, we're going to buy the album and we'll be back to talk about
the album.
More Howard the Duck. We'll be right back.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, and welcome back.
But this album is so good.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing it got here that fast.
You know, you need it on vinyl, too, because you can't really appreciate the sound.
You need those clicks and pops. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like it's just not the same.
You were there when it was recorded. Yep,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Studio.
You can literally do a needle drop.
I'm also going to find a way to make this my ringtone, but we're now going to talk about... Now, how would we want to see Howard the Duck in the MCU? We talked about it. We think Iron Duck, Bill Hader.
That's the
private eye route.
Yeah.
Like the story, because, and I think coupled with a character like Rocket Raccoon, like he is for a lot in the Zdarsky to keep beating that drum. But he works well because he's paired with other Marvel characters.
Yes.
There's also probably the funniest version of Peter Parker in those books that he's just constantly crying.
Now I need to read this.
They're
really
funny. Okay. It's like if Peter Parker's
Are they on
like,
Marvel Unlimited?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And Peter helps him. He's like, thanks. And Peter's like, I just wish I could have helped Uncle Ben. You know, it's like, it's not that, but that kind of level.
Does Preeti know that like that level, that exists?
I hope so. It's like Preeti,
I'm going to find, it's
the funniest because he's just so sad all the time. Like he can barely walk.
Oh my
but
God,
also like
emo Peter.
Aunt May is Howard's office assistant. His PI office is next door to She-Hulk. Her law office, and she gets involved. And Rocket Raccoon becomes a big thing. There's something the two of them is. So it's like involving the other weirder characters, I think, is the way to make Howard
work.
So this sounds like a great what if episode, you know, the new Disney show. Because I can't imagine him doing another live action Howard the Duck. I can imagine him becoming a big character in the Guardians camp.
I think he needs to be like B level where he can exist and pop up and have a little bit more of a role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, I don't know that a full on, but then again, you know what? When Guardians got announced, everybody's like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
So
the thing is there's no question they're going to use this character again in some way or revitalize him or something. He's just, he's too good.
He's too interesting. I think Cher's absolutely right. Introduce him in another movie, bump his role up in either, you know, as Guardians of the Galaxy, if they're going to do it, Love and Thunder, you know, in anything that Taika or James Gunn has their hands
on.
You
have to let a director with a very good sense of humor.
Yeah. I feel like Taika would nail.
Absolutely.
Would just
possibly literally.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like,
absolutely.
And so
and
him,
he might actually get some duck dick in that movie.
It's like, and I'd accept it. And it's, especially if Taika's like, yeah, we just gave him a dick.
And, amen.
But it's like, so, but then
I'm
if
Doug.
They,
this is my friend Howard.
They get Howard really going in there. And then maybe they give him like a Disney Plus show.
Yeah.
That's like Howard's detective agency. And they can kind of bring, but again, with other characters kind of fleshing it out, like
I think the other possibility is making it like an adult animated, like let him exist in the movies, but then giving him an adult like cartoon.
Yeah,
I we know what you want, Cher, out of this.
Smut.
For some duck porn.
I was looking for Gelfling smut yesterday online, so I'm like, I'm not gonna judge.
I'm afraid to Google search either of those things because they definitely exist. They,
and not even on the dark web, just on the web.
Yeah.
It's like the internet looks at you, it's like you're not the first.
Yeah.
There's even potential, as crazy as this would be, you know what I could see them doing?
Yeah.
Because Beverly actually does pop up in the Zdarsky comics.
Oh, cool.
Like they make
a
thing where, and it's Leah Thompson, it's like full on.
It looks like Leah Thompson.
Yeah, it does.
And it's like the Star Wars comics where they look like Han and Leia.
Yeah, except that's perfect. That's exactly what it is. So I could even see them, like Leah, I don't know if she'd ever do it, but like having a cameo.
I mean,
like, this is my friend.
I don't know that Leah Thompson's busy.
They're bringing back Bill and Ted, you know? Yeah. It
would be like the weird, it would be like kind of along the lines of, J. Jonah Jameson was in, you know, these completely other unconnected movies, but we're just going to bring him back anyway because there's nobody better. It's like, the story is so weird that they could even bring her back. Well, it's like, I was in a band that one time. Say, what happened to that? Oh, who remembers? It's time to go back. You know, it's
it can make for really for a really great multiverse moment in the Doctor Strange multiverse of horrors.
They open up a door
and it's like Howard the Duck.
This is the Leah Thompson universe. This is where everyone's Leah Thompson.
That's where I want to live. I want to live there. Oh man!
It's like
all right.
Just every town is Cleveland, and every citizen is Leah Thompson at some point in her career.
Dreams.
That's the real multiverse of madness. Except there's no madness about it. It's just awesome.
Happiness. Yeah. Multiverse of happiness. All right. Well, on that note, all right. How about we just...
Got that, Feige?
Call us, Marvel.
Verbatim.
So let's just quickly, final thoughts. We said a lot about the movie. Final thoughts. What do you want to end on?
You know, you got. I feel the love now.
Yeah, I
came in and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I was like with a kind of a bad attitude, you know, I'll admit it. And now, you know, I'm
now
on the train.
Now you've got to accept it for like the trash train wreck
that
it is.
It's the power of Days of Marvel.
It's a trash train, but it's our trash train.
Yes, we are on this ride together.
Yeah, the real duck dick were the friends we made. Absolutely.
Pretty soon, we're just going to be eating bugs on the train that doesn't stop. I don't know, whatever.
Exactly. And so before we get there, let's just enjoy this weird thing for what it is. And you know, and it's, and throughout, this is another one of these, throughout this everything else project, what a wonderful ride it has been.
Thank you so much for having me.
My
pleasure. Yeah.
This is far from the most eye-rolling one of these.
Yes.
That I've been introduced to a lot of movies that I haven't watched before.
That's true.
Like if Tom Jane's Punisher came in the middle of this and just started gunning down a whole beach full of people, I'd be like, well, that's one way to do a mashup. It's like, you know, I just say I haven't loved all of the new movie experiences. Mm-hmm. I think this is out of all of them, with the exception of maybe Warzone, which I enjoyed.
I've actually never seen Warzone.
That was an enjoyable watch. It's it's watch for Dominic West, acting through the roof alone.
But is it the level of commitment of Leah Thompson having sex with a duck? I feel like that should be like what every Oscar.
Yeah.
But is it Leah Thompson committed?
Are you this committed? Yeah. Are you Leah Thompson fucking a duck committed? Because if you're not, the door's over there.
If Leo could sit there and say he deserved an Oscar for getting like raped by a fake bear, she should have had 10 Oscars by now. Yeah. That's who deserves an Oscar.
She was going to fuck like a fake duck that at some point could have been a suit stuffed with 20 real ducks for
all
we know.
We don't know.
And the voice of Admiral Akbar.
And it's the magic of Hollywood
there. There is a trap.
I think it's time to go.
Cher, final thought from you, Cher. Quick final thought.
I still love this hot mess of a movie. Yeah. I know it's trash. I know it is, but like, it's kind of like, you know, the cereal that when you were younger and you would eat religiously on Saturday mornings. It's like the Frankenberry cereal.
Beautiful.
Of MCU.
That's a beautiful analogy.
It tasted great as a kid, and then you have it as an adult, you're like, this is disgusting, but I love it. I'm gonna eat it anyway.
Still like,
I'm gonna eat four bowls and finish the whole box. This is the Frankenberry of the MCU.
Yep. All right. And my final thought, I agree. I absolutely love this movie. It's so bad, so good. It ages like a fine duck wine. Or whatever duck wine would be in Duck World.
Duck. I don't know. What would they drink? Like
Chardon duck?
Pinot
duck war.
I don't know.
We're all like, who's going to make the first joke?
It's a quick line. So everybody's duck neurons following. Like,
instead of wild turkey, it's wild duck. Yeah. There you go.
That's
fine. Whatever.
All right.
Johnny Ducker. I got nothing.
Yeah. We're out of gas on Howard the Duck. But
Duck doers.
Duck doers.
It's like, duck beer.
You know, we're going to hit stop on recording and someone's going to be like, I got it. thank you all for listening. As we said, this was
get a fowler of beer.
Oh, geez.
Get it?
Oh, geez. We're just barreling towards the end. So, everybody, thanks for listening. We're going to be back with two bonus episodes. We're not going to talk about what movies those are.
Oh, you lucky people.
You lucky people.
Lucky ducks.
Yeah, they'll be coming out soon. So definitely expect more from Days of Marvel. We're not done. This will be the official conclusion of this particular season, but we'll be back doing more Marvel stuff soon. So in the meantime, please rate, subscribe, leave us some comments. We would love to hear from you. Also, as Cher mentioned before, she did a fantastic roundup of this movie.
I did. It is Not Guilty, Howard the Duck.
So, yeah. So check that out on Sci-Fi Wire. Give that a read.
I personally have never written about this movie.
I mean, you are.
But, oh, my God. My Patreon? I don't know. I have no Patreon.
We should make a spec script.
A SoundCloud.
Send it over to Marvel.
Marvel, don't worry. We're on it.
We're going to be on it.
And Cleveland, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I mean, yeah. It's,
we'll leave it at that. Cleveland, we're sorry. Marvel's take our
George
ideas.
Lucas, I love you. I love you.
Thanks for listening. We love you, George Lucas. We'll see you next time on Days of Marvel.